Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Vakar. I'm from Bochum, Ruhr, Bochum University, and there I study ethics, economics, law, and politics. And I already have a master's in philosophy, and currently I do consultancy work with AI. But today's topic is about something that happened to me a few months ago. So I was, and it was 2 a.m., probably 1 a.m. in the morning, and I was talking to ChatGPT, as most of us probably do at night. And I said something, I typed something into ChatGPT that I probably would not say to many people, but only to close people. And the response I got from ChatGPT was really warm. I felt really good about myself, but then I started realizing what is happening. Like, I was observing myself. I'm being comforted by a chatbot, by a website. But then, yeah, but then I felt again this part of me that was feeling comfort that said, but is it alive? And then said, no, it can't be alive, my skeptic part said, because it's just a machine. But then again, my warmth part, that was feeling the warmth, said, but it seems as if someone is there. And this is the question that we'll be discussing today, because this is something that whenever we talk to ChatGPT, most of us, I think in some way, one way or another, we feel this feeling that maybe someone is there, but maybe because of, maybe we feel someone's going to make fun of us, and even maybe our own selves not going to feel comfortable with asking this question. So this is something we'll be asking, is anyone there when we talk to ChatGPT? Now, most of you here would be saying that, dude, you are losing your marbles. There's no one there in ChatGPT. It's just an algorithm that's based on ones and zeros. And the only thing that it's doing, it's just predicting the next word. It's a giant autocomplete that is on steroids. And to that, I would say to you that you are actually right. And you are in good company. A philosopher 300 years ago, his name is Gottfried Leibniz, he said that if we were to make a thinking machine, and if we were to blow it up of a size of a building, and if we could walk inside that machine, the only thing we would see inside it is cogs and levers. And no one would be there that would be doing the thinking. And this example can be easily applied to ChatGPT today, because if we look at ChatGPT, then the servers that are inside, that are working, that are doing the thinking in ChatGPT, are basically in buildings, and you could easily walk inside and you can see. And when you'll go and observe how and where the thinking is done inside those servers, you won't find anyone that is doing the thinking. Now, my main point here is not that if ChatGPT can do the thinking or not. The main point is anyone there who's doing the thinking? Is someone really there who is doing the thinking? So it seems like we have a malfunction with the slides, but we can keep going. So the thing is, for us to really know if there is someone who's doing the thinking, we need to know what someone is. So, and that thing was really well explained by Thomas Nagel. That philosopher, he said that someone is really there if it is something like to be that thing. And what does it mean? So, for example, for you, there is something like to be you. Like, there is something uniqueness into your experience that makes you you, right? And in the same way, there are other animals. For example, there can be a dog. That is something like to be a dog. There is something like to be a cat. There is something that it is like to be a bat. But in the same way, there is nothing like to be a rock or a table or a laptop. So for us to really understand if ChatGPT is someone there, in this way we can clearly say that there is no one who's doing the thinking in ChatGPT in the same way. But The problem here is that we can clearly say that, and everyone believes that there is no one in ChatGPT that is there, but we behave as if someone is really there. For example, how many of you here do you use ChatGPT or LLMs in your life? Have you ever used it? You have used it. So you have you used it? So all of you have used it. Most of you have used it. And how many of you have been polite or have said thank you to ChatGPT? Never? You have said it, right? You have said it. So, and have you felt any kind of like obligation to be nice to it, not be rude to it? Have you felt that? No. So most of you still have said thank you, and you said you've been polite to it. And this is not something that is unique to you people. 47% of the people, if the slides were working, 43% of the people in 17 countries all around the world say thank you and say polite words to ChatGPT. And 67% of the people in the UK and 71% of the people in the United States, they say thank you and say they try to remain polite with the ChatGPT. And if this is the case, then we should at least try to question this. Why do we have this one understanding of ChatGPT? There's no one there, but yet we behave if someone is there. Because we only be polite to something if we feel there is someone there. So, for example, you would never be thankful to your calculator, right? You would never say thank you to your calculator or your laptop for helping you with the research, for writing you the essay. Or you never consider that you've been rude to your toaster for slamming it, right? You would never feel that way. But yet, for some reason, we feel this way. So there is clearly a cognitive dissonance that we feel, how we behave and how we think about the LLMs. Now, moving forward, so the question comes, why do we feel this certain way that, or at least we behave, that ChatGPT or LLMs pull this kind of pleas or politeness out of us? And the reason is that we have a certain kind of belief. We have a certain kind of instinct that exists in us. And this instinct is called theory of mind. Theory of mind is a mechanism that is given to us by evolutionary mechanisms. And what it does, it allows us to see other people and observe other people same as us. So you have a certain kind of someness. You have this uniqueness that makes you you, right? There is something like to be you. But how do you know if other people are also like you? So theory of mind, what it does, it helps us with understanding and with also putting on that same kind of value as we have to our own self, to other people. And in this way, what happens is that when we see something that behaves in a way that makes us warm, that makes us feel something, we start giving value to it as we would give to a certain individual, to a certain human, to maybe a certain being. Now, moving forward, this feeling is not something that we can control. It is automatic. It gets triggered when we are 3 years old. So theory of mind gets activated when we are 3 years old. And from then on, you can't control, and you just, whatever face you see, whenever you see someone that you feel as if it is something like to be it, you automatically say, oh, there is something like to be it. It means it is a person like me. Now the question is, why do we feel that this automatic response can't be controlled? Because it is an instinct that is given to us in the same way this instinct has been given to us to many animals. For example, there are many turtles that this slide. So, for example, there are many instincts in the picture is not working, but still, There are many animals in the wild. They have the same kind of instinct. So this instinct for the turtles, what it does, turtles, they hatch, and they hatch on a night. They hatch on a beach, and then their first instinct is to go towards the brightest light that they see. And this has been happening for hundreds of thousands of millions of years, and turtles have been following this instinct to go towards the brightest light until we invented artificial light. And now with artificial light, the instincts of the turtles is now to follow the lamp, the artificial light that is closer to the beach. So now what they're doing is they're going the opposite way of where the moon is, of where the sea is, where they should go. And in the same way, what is happening is that this instinct of theirs is making them behave in a way that is not natural to them. So what is happening is that their instinct is not wrong, but what the thing that is wrong is the shape that making them feel something that they can connect with. So for them, the brightest thing is something that they want to go towards. But now there's another brighter thing that they have, and they're getting confused, and they're running towards it, and they're going towards their death. So, and I think something similar is happening to us in the same way, because we have the same kind of instinct. And the question is, what kind of shape is ChatGPT wearing that we feel towards ChatGPT in the same way? Not simply ChatGPT or LLMs when we talk to them. What are they doing to us? To answer that, we need to understand a concept called affordance. But we'll try to understand it in a really simple way. And that is, here there was a door handle. So whenever you see a door handle, what you do is you just automatically go towards it and you just open and pull the door handle, right? You don't do anything. If any one of you know about affordances, because we've discussed about affordances here. So if anyone of you knows affordance, it's fine. But if you don't, we're going to explain it. So what the door handle does, it allows you to do an action. In the same way, the mouse is allowing me to move my files around in this computer. Or maybe you use a fork, maybe you use a spoon. It allows you to do a certain kind of action. In the same way, when you see a door handle, you see the door handle and your hand automatically goes there to do a certain kind of action, that is to pull it, right? You don't have to think about it, you just automatically do it. Why? Because there was a time, even before you have your memory, You can remember. You just learned the concept of seeing the door handle and then pulling it, right? And in that same way, what is happening is that when you see a face, and when you already have a conception of, okay, when I see a face, they behave in a certain way, they move in a certain way, it means that they are someone, that there is something to be like them. In the same way, the door allows you to do the pull. In the same way, when you see a person, a face, you automatically give them the status of being someone. Now, this is something that's not rare. It happens everywhere. So you, as you're sitting on the chair, you did not think or you did not do the reasoning before, okay, maybe I should, what should I do? This is a horizontal sledge. Maybe I should sit this way or that way. No, what you did was you just came here and you saw the chair, and you just use the chair and you do the action of that was, which is to sit. So, now, the next point is that, as we've explained, we do the same thing with the people. And when we do this with the people, we should realize this, because when we do with the door handle or with the chair, we can test it if it's really there, if it's really affording us that action that we want it to do. But with people, when we give them the value of there is something, it is like to be them, we can't test it. we can't test it in any way that person is really there. Because for you to really test it, you need to look into their mind, which you can never do, which probably no human, at least today, can do. So this tells us that how we test if someone is there, then the Thomas Nagel's theory of if it is something like to be it means someone is there, is we don't prove it. We just perceive it, we see it, and then we say, okay, yeah, definitely, probably, someone's going to be, is there, like us. And so this is why I think what's happening with ChatGPT is that we see ChatGPT, how it responds to us, what it gives us in terms of emotions, in terms of warmth, in terms of feelings, and we automatically starts giving it the same kind of value that we think that we should give to other humans, we give it to ChatGPT. And this is the reason why when you ask, is anyone there? In the pure analytical sense, there is no one there in the sense that that I feel as if I am here, or we give value to other people if they're there. But so no one there in that term. But because ChatGPT is trained, or LLMs are trained on human data, in that sense, everyone is there. Because the people, or whoever is talking to us through that window, through ChatGPT, ChatGPT is trained on human books, on human novels, on human texts, on human forums. And all of those emotions are in some way captured by that thing, and then it is again given to us in a way. It is reflected back to us. So that is why we feel if someone is there. So to conclude the talk is, no one is there in the sense that someone is really there, how Nagel described it. But if we just see it from how we perceive it, then everyone is there because it feels like as if it is like us. Thank you.